take the Bible, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 10, and looking at prayer, that great weapon of prayer. Still in the fight. It is a battle every day. This last couple of weeks has been, I've really felt this opposition, and I know that it's God Almighty. He's the one that He allows this opposition to come in our lives to strengthen us and to help us, and it's always to the glory of God. And we can see through all these verses that how God is glorified in the sight of the people. And there's all kinds of problems that God is moving and working through. And we know that Peter, we read how Peter had been arrested. And they threatened him. They wanted to kill him. But Gamaliel, that doctor of the law, stood up and said, you better be careful about what you do about these men. He said, if this is of God, you're fighting against God. And encouraged them, you know, just to consider what they're going to do. He said, if it's not of God, it's going to come to nothing. Don't worry about it. Chapter 10, we saw that through prayer, we saw a man who was a Gentile. And to this point right here, the church did not have any Gentiles in it. They were all Jewish believers. They were people of the nation of Israel. And God is getting ready to do something. And you better mark it down. God likes to do things through prayer. Because He wants you to be part of it. He wants me to be a part of it. And since we do not have no power in ourselves to make any kind of change. I've said it before, and I'll say it 100 times if I get a chance. I've never seen a devil. Never seen one. Never seen one. I've imagined them in my mind, you know, in my heart, and I've had them try to strike fear into me, you know, through images, you know, of what they are capable of. But I've never seen one. But I've felt them. I've known they were around. I've seen their work. I've seen that they have power that God has granted. All power belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is by God's permission. I always understand that. You know, don't give the devil no credit. Give God all the credit. Amen. Give Him all the glory. Because whatever they're doing is by God's permission. It's for our good and to God's glory. Now, Peter, he's just suffered many things, but now there's this Gentile by the name of Cornelius. We read that last week. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time, but I do want to go back and establish something about this. We see now something getting ready to happen that's going to change the world. It's going to change everything. It's going to change everything about the way God operates and works. Before, it always been in through the Jewish nation, but God's changing directions. There's a change coming upon the world. And it starts right down here at this house of a man. Hey, he's a centurion. He's a Roman soldier. God has picked a man who had before been known as one of those who persecuted the nation of Israel. But you see a man there. Hey, who has heard the truth and knows that there's one God and His name is Jehovah God. He understands that. He's praying to God because he fears Him. He believes in Him. He knows that He is salvation for the whole world. He knows that. And it said right here that he's been praying. We know how this angel appears and tells him, says, Cornelius, he said, your prayers, God's heard them. God's taking note. God's going to move through the prayers of a man who before was not even considered to be a people. He was nothing no more than a dead dog. Amen? He was nothing no more than a hog. He was not even a people. You find that in the book of Ephesians. We were not a people. I was not a people till God spoke into my heart, and I received and was born of God. Until that, I was not even a people in God's eyes. I was just so much a dead dog. And what can a dead dog do for itself? Y'all seen them beside the side of the road. What do? All they do is just swell up and rot. Amen. And that's all that dead dog can do. Amen. Praise God. God in His mercy heard some prayers of people who prayed for me. He knew me before the foundation of the world. He did. According to His foreknowledge. But I was not yet a people. I'd been saved on the cross of Calvary, but I had not yet received that gift, which was imparted to me. But now, praise God, in 1984, I was born again. Amen. I had a new birth. And that's what happened here to old Cornelius. He had not had a new birth. He believed in God. I did too. I knew that, I believed that Jesus Christ, had died, was buried, and on the third day arose again from the dead. I'd been told that all my life. And I believed that. I even had a Southern Baptist preacher lead me down the Roman road. And buddy, I'd made a little prayer of profession. But I hadn't yet been born again. But God, in His wisdom and knowledge, He chose the time. Now this is the time. This is the time. God has got things in order. There's a reason for this time. One of the reasons is because it was the Roman Empire. And they had built them road systems. They had come here, and all roads led to Rome. And buddy, you could move through the nation, and it was within just a couple of years, all the known world had the gospel preached in. They were able to get out and go and spread the message. Hey, there was a time. God had picked the time. It was for His purpose and to His glory. Hey, I'm going to tell you, we're talking about one of the most vile empires that ever existed. We know of the wickedness of Rome. You can look into your history and you can see how filthy and wicked it was. Vile. I mean, a vile and filthy place. You know what that tells me? It doesn't make any difference how bad it is. Hey, God is able. He's more than well equipped. He's able to make a difference. Boy, you find Paul, he's reading. I mean, you didn't get no more wicked in the household of Caesar. All kinds of wickedness and stuff was going on in his household. But there was believers there, amen? You'll find that Paul was writing. He said, those, here in the palace of Caesar that were believers. So God, it don't make a difference how bad. People say, well, you know, boy, ain't no need trying to do nothing today. It's so bad, nobody will listen. That's baloney. That's wrong. What has that got to do with anything? What matters is God's will, and God's will still is. He's not willing that any should perish. But it all should come to repentance. But the devil has tricked us and made us think that, hey, what can you do? Who cares? Well, do you care? If you don't care, then nothing going to happen. But if you care, it'll make a difference. When we care, it'll make a difference. Boy, this fella, he cared. He cared for his soul. He not only cared for his soul, you can find out, he went out and got all his neighbors, his friends, his loved ones. He said, man, God done told me that to send for a messenger who's going to come down here and tell us the way of salvation. He said, now you need to be here when they gets back. And buddy had his whole house full. They could see the excitement. They could see the desire. They could see the passion in him that said, hey, God's going to do something. What are we like? What are we like today in our churches? Do we have that passion for souls? Do we have that passion for our loved ones? Do we have that passion for our friends and our neighbors that this man did? He said, come on. Look, you need to come over and hear this. Man, we need to have that kind of passion for our Sunday school class. We need to go out and find some gentlemen and say, look, you need to come in Sunday school. Man, hey, there's a nut over there that's telling that we can make a difference. He really believes it. Come out here. Come here and get involved in it. Do it at your house. Boy, I'd love to see. Wouldn't you love to see that start happening again where people start, hey, meeting, having prayer meetings in their houses again? We get together for everything else, man. We'll have a hot dog dinner, and we'll come over and we'll talk about the ball games and everything else. What'd be wrong? Once again, we start inviting people to come to our house and have prayer meetings together. Be great with it. I mean, let's, and that's what old Cornelius did, and boy, and come down there. Well, at the same time, he was praying. Peter, he went up there trying to find the will of God. That was his custom. I'm going up there, I'm going to talk with God. And boy, when God told him what he wanted to do, he couldn't believe it. He said, "Not so, Lord." He said, "Yes, sir." "Yeah, yes, sir." "Not so, Lord." He said, "Yes. Kill me. Don't call what I have cleansed. Don't call it unclean or common. I made it. Now, kill and eat." Boy, he raised that up there. And boy, the Holy Spirit revealed to him that there was people that was going to be there. He was to go with them. They were Gentiles. And he was to go down to their household. And that's about all he told him. He said, "This man prayed, and God wants you to go down, talk with him." Boy, he goes downstairs, gets some people, there's witnesses to go with him. He's scared to death of the brethren. Scared to death of them. But he was more scared of God. Hey, we might be afraid about how our families are going to respond if we go over to the deep end, We might be afraid about how the church is going to respond if we kind of go off the deep end and get really excited about this thing of serving God again, just get a little bit fanatical about it, we might be afraid of what they might think about us if we did get a little bit fanatical about it, Boy, shout about that more than we do about the Panthers game or Brother Melvin was here, I'd say Carolina game, But, is it not important? Is there not a cause, as David said? But he prayed and God met. Two men prayed and God put them together and something is getting ready to happen. God is doing something great. If you ain't careful, you'll read past that in the book of Acts and not realize how much those prayers impacted. You're sitting here today because a fellow by the name of Cornelius prayed. It had to come to the Gentiles. And God had a door that he picked. And that's the door. And it was through that door he ended up at your house. We don't know that what we do here today, how it might impact tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. You don't know as did that old Sunday school teacher up, I can't even remember where it was from now. Somebody help me, Dwight L. Moody. That little old boy who had been going to the congregational church because that's where they always went and was not saved, not a believer, moral, believed the Bible, believed everything they told him when he went there, but had not yet received the Spirit of God, was not born again. And that old Sunday school teacher did not know what was going to be the impact. You know what I'm saying? Of what he did. You chase that thing down. Oh, I ain't saying he done everything right, but you chase that thing down, you'll find out that little old Sunday school teacher went out and taught that little old Sunday school class he did. And then old Dwight L. Moody started going with him when he started visiting some of those. And he was able to lead all his Sunday school class to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's, the first one started with Dwight L. Moody. And Dwight L. Moody then got involved in church, got involved in Sunday school, because that impacted him. We know how he ended up going out to Chicago, and he wanted to teach in the Sunday school class. So he went to the church there, and they said, "Well, here's your classroom." Showed it to him. He said, "Well, where are my students at?" He said, "They out there. Go get them." He said, "Okay." He built that Sunday school class to over 5,000. Just a little street urchin. I said Sunday school. It wasn't Sunday, it was Sabbath school back then. They had it on Saturday. They had Sabbath school. Over 5,000. But that ain't the... God ended up moving upon him, who had a very successful career selling shoes. And God moved upon him that he was going to have to give that up because he had bigger plans for him. That he was going to be an evangelist and he was going to preach the gospel. Now, I can't tell you, I didn't look this up, but I just come back to my memory. You can look and find the trail of people that come to Christ. And a lot of them were evangelists. It started with that little old Sunday school teacher going out and winning his class. Dwight L. Moody, one of them. I also know that Mordecai Ham was one of them, was in that lineage. And so that made Billy Graham one of those that was in that lineage. So you never know what doing the will of God, and the only way that we want to know is through prayer. We find His prayer, how it opened the door and took the gospel now to the Gentile peoples. You never know what's going to be the end of that prayer. How big of an influence that God is going to use our prayers in this world. You don't know. I don't know. But God wants you to see how great He is. That you might glorify Him in your heart and in your mind to others about what great things that God can do. Boy, we see that this happened, and now we know that, boy, now God has just saved, He just reached out and saved old Apostle Paul. Boy, old Apostle Paul is... He's down there. He's on the backside of the desert. You know what he's doing? He's praying. He sent a witness down to him. He said, "For he prayeth." And he went back. He went back to Arabia. Boy, got down and over there, and for several years, he's seeking God's will. He's spending time in prayer. He's spending time in the Word of God. God is grooming him because he's getting ready to send him. Look over here, and then so we see that now the door's been opened to the Gentiles. He used Peter because he had the keys to that kingdom. Now he's opened the door to the Gentiles, and he's got a minister that he's prepared for the Gentiles, our minister, the Apostle Paul. Look over here in Acts 13:1. I don't want to look over another one, but I kind of am right now. I'm going to kind of go back to it. 13:1, now there was in the church over at Antioch certain prophets and teachers of Barnabas and Simeon. It was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So now you see that through prayer and fasting, God's getting ready to send Paul out into the mission field. Before that, now look here. Back up to 12. Back up to 12. Look at 12. And 1 through 12, what you have here is right after God used Peter to bring the gospel now to the Gentile people, look at the opposition that came against him. He's been arrested now. You know? You don't think that's been told? You don't think the religious leaders knows what he has done? He's preaching. He's going to Gentiles. He's preaching. He's preaching to the Gentiles. He's corrupting. He's corrupting the people, bringing these Gentile dogs. Boy, and brethren ain't happy about it. You know what I mean? You better believe, but they putting pressure. They put pressure on the king. They've been to talk to him before, you know. Them religious leaders. And buddy, I'm going to tell you one thing. If you start standing with this book and you're getting serious with God in prayer, hey, the religious crowd ain't going to like you. They're not going to like you because you know why? You're going to take the gospel out and people that sit in their congregations for years and years and never heard the truth and they start believing and they start questioning them. Boy, they don't like that. I'll never forget a guy told me he was getting all over the Baptist. He was a Lutheran. He didn't like the Baptist at all. Now, I wasn't a Baptist. I went to the Methodist church. I was saved. And I told him, I said, well, let me tell you something, friend. First of all, I said, there ain't one church. And that's everyone that's been born of the Spirit of God. And I said, and I don't care what congregation he goes to, he's saved. He's my brother. And I said, and I ain't got no problem with anybody that's trying to get the gospel out. And he was stumbling all over himself. I had another old boy. He got saved here in his church. I'll never forget this. And he got saved. Boy, man, his brother got mad. And the fellow I worked with, he got mad. It was his friend. They used to hang out together. He told him, he said, won't you come and join my church? He said, you don't have to go. He told me about that. I busted out laughing. I said, that's probably true because he don't ever go. Stayed home Sunday morning drinking liquor. But, oh boy, I mean, the moment he trusted Christ, opposition came against him. And it was by religious. People, it's funny how religious people get all of a sudden, you know, when they're confronted with the gospel and with the truth. And old Peter now, he's been arrested and they're going to take him out and kill him. They didn't kill James. Now they're going to kill Peter. Boy, notice how religion and politics gets together. Ain't got nothing to do with the truth. Ain't got nothing to do with the church. But religion and politics go hand in hand. Boy, and that religious crowd then got the political leaders, and they were to take and kill him when he saw, boy, how it pleased the Jews, how he slew James. Boy, he then took Peter, going to take him and kill him, going to have him. Hey, look, what I'm saying is, if you get serious about this, like you're going to have opposition. So you better spend time in prayer because opposition is coming. You're going to need all the help. We're going to need all the help we can get. And the best place to find is down on our knees somewhere. I'm no match. I'm no match for this world. Now, I know I'm no match for this flesh. It beats me up all the time. And I certainly am no match for this world. And that's worlds and took Peter to take him out and kill him. But notice what is up. What will make a difference? And he had apprehended him, put him in prison, delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him intending after Easter. Mark that down. That's an important word in your Bible. The religious crowd don't like that word in your Bible. You know what all of them put right there for Easter? You know what they all put for Easter there? Anybody know? Passover. Funny thing, though. Look here. He said, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but notice this, but prayer. Amen? Prayer was going to make a difference. But prayer Amen? He was arrested. He was surrounded by soldiers. There wasn't nobody going to bust him out, but they made him fast. They had him. Buddy, they had him. Well, there was no hope of getting him out. He was going, to the whatever they were going to do, stone him, chopping block, whatever they were going to do, probably going to have him beheaded, whatever. He was going to die. They had him. Amen? But prayer. Buddy, when it looks like everything is hopeless and helpless, but prayer. But don't go praying like, well, I know ain't nothing going to happen with God. I mean, because God, I don't know what God's going to do. I'll leave that up to God. But I certainly don't want to go to prayer doubting that God can do it, make a difference. If God is going to do it, no, if God is going to take his life, amen, then change my prayer. Change my prayer. I imagine the people was praying for him. I said, Lord, whatever you do in this situation, give him courage, strength, that he might honor you and bring glory to your name, whatever happens. That you will be glorified in this. And buddy, in either way, you'll see God move and work. And you can glorify God and know that it was the best thing. And you'll see how it plays out. When God answers a prayer and you get with God on this situation, He'll help you to see what's going on. He'll give you something that's called discernment. So you'll understand what's going on. But if there ever been a day and hour that we need some discernment, it's today. But everywhere we look, it looks like everything's falling apart. But I'm here to tell you know it. God's still in charge. Ain't nothing taking him by surprise. Whatever's happening in our political realm, whatever's happening in our religious realm, whatever's happening in the church, God is not taken by surprise. God knows how it's going to play out, and he wants to be glorified in it. But to be able to be glorified in it, we got to understand what God's doing so we can see it and praise God. God wants us to know. He don't want us to be walking through this thing blindly, you know. When we go to prayer, but God made a difference. And we know what happened, how that angel of the Lord came in there, freed him from the stocks, come here and bumped him on the side. Wake up, boy. Stocks fall off his feet. Hey, every one of them, door swings open. I imagine the guards are still just standing there. They ain't seeing nothing. God just done a miracle. He walked right through the midst. I don't even know if he can even see them. I know they can't see him because he's like in a dream, you know. He was like, okay, I'm following you. I think he thought he was dreaming. He walked out and followed him. All the doors is opening up and the doors going back shut, locking up. He walks right on out, walks out of the gate, gate swings shut, angel disappears, and all of a sudden Peter says, it wasn't a dream. This really happened. I'm out. But prayer made a difference. It was impossible for him to get out, but he's out. Amen. God is able. If we learn anything from that portion of Scripture, it doesn't make no difference how bad the situation is. God is able to make a difference. Now we see that he just got, we see this great deliverance, and this is very important. It's a very important. Hey, because God is showing us that whatever you're going through, he wants to be glorified in it. And it will, you know, if everything was just, you know, tiptoeing through the tulips, you know, if everything was just tiptoeing through the tulips, you think we would be praising God and glorifying God as much as when troubles come? And buddy, you just don't see no way out. And God shows you what he's doing. Boy, you know that God is doing the right thing. You see the power of God coming against the devil. You know what happens then? You get excited, don't you? You start praising God. But if it was always just easy, you know what would happen? It wouldn't be no time. You wouldn't be believing God. You said, ah, come on. Well, you look at Israel. You look at Israel. Buddy, when times got bad, what did they do? They called upon God. Hey, boy, didn't God come and move in? You know what I mean? Delivered them. Oh, the whole nation is shouting, "The Lord, He is God! The Lord, He is God!" You know, praising Him and shouting the praises because they come through trouble and He showed great deliverance. But everything was going smooth, buddy. They had that stalled ox. Everything was fat, had all the food they can eat. Man, everything was going wonderful. You know what they always did? They said, "Look what my hand has got me." Huh? Man, God. And next thing you know, God said, a fatted calf destroyed Israel. Prosperity does more destruction to the church than anything. Opposition don't hurt the church. Persecution don't hurt the church. Because the Bible said all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But if you're not going through any kind of persecution, guess what? You ain't living too godly. But buddy, when opposition comes because you're standing for God Almighty, hey, there is going to be, God's going to be glorified. You're going to find yourself wanting to praise God. You're going to find yourself wanting to do more. And I tell you, I've been some times, been a few places, I was scared to death. I said, "This is it. This is my last time. I'm done. These guys are going to kill me." I know several instances like that. And, buddy, you know what I wanted to do, Jim? I wanted to quit. Scared the far out of me. You know what I mean? If I can just get out of this, I'm done with this. And you know what happened? Yeah, couldn't stop. God said, "I was there. If I hadn't have been there, he would have definitely been in trouble. You're not going nowhere until I'm done. You're not going nowhere." Paul, God said, I must show him what great things he must suffer for my sake. But old Paul wasn't going to die until it was time. Now, Peter wasn't going to die either until it was time. God brought him out of an impossible situation, and he'll do the same. God hadn't changed, amen? Oh, I'm not no apostle, and the signs of the apostle are not wrought in me. But the signs of the apostle are truly wrought in God, and they're still happening every day all around the world. People are still being saved. God is still moving in the political realm. God is still moving, and God is still doing that which pleases Him. And we can either see that, and you walk with God, spend time in prayer. Hey, accept trouble when it comes. Thank God for it so God can show us what He's doing. Hey, or we can sit down on the couch and do nothing, watch our ball games, get to heaven, and see all the rewards we lost because we wasn't willing to spend time with God in prayer. Prayer changes, will change us all, I promise you. Real prayer. Because what God does, He shows us how sorry and needful we are and show us how wonderful and great our God is and how He is able to meet all our needs. And buddy, and we'll get excited about it. We get excited about it. And I like it when it's exciting, don't you? I like it, man. I like it when there's a service. And it ain't because it's shouting. I remember some of the most precious services I can remember. It was so quiet, it was like a tomb. People, the fear of God was upon them. They were examining themselves. I'll never forget one service we had over at the old church. And I went and talked to Pastor Whitehart, and I found that 28 church members had come and made inquiry. They were under such deep conviction. Their heart, man, was just about to beat out of their chest. It wasn't so much that they were lost. They were examining themselves, and God took them right up there and made them question themselves. Where were they? That's the kind of meetings that we need, amen? That's the kind of meetings we need. We don't need it. It's this stuff, boy. Oh, yeah, like a lot of them I've seen, when they just shout the house down and leave out just the way they came in. Dirty. You can get up there and you start talking about the King James Bible. I'm telling you, hey, this is the Word of God. Amen? Amen? Boy, I'm going to tell you what. You can believe this. This is of God, amen. God wrote this book, and God's going to keep this book. And boy, and just start worshiping this book. And buddy, you can get people start shouting the house down. Start talking about it. And we'll get on that wicked crowd. I'll tell you what, bless God. Hey, God's not going to put up with this forever. I'm telling you, judgment's coming against this wicked crowd. I'll tell you what, hey, God is going to support His church. But that day's coming, buddy. Hey, them perverts and them queers and them that and everything, God's going to rain fire down and destroy them just like He did in Sodom and Gomorrah. Can I get an amen to that? Yeah, but is that what God's wanting us to see? No, because it was just as wicked a time as there's ever been in history. And God is getting ready to move and change a lot of people. A lot of people are going to get saved.
Amen.
It was so wicked when Paul went down to Corinth. I'm telling you, the local temple had prostitutes wearing sandals. Follow this for a good time, boys. Huh? That's the kind of stuff there was. And homosexuality was rampant in Rome, and had been. It wasn't considered immoral. It wasn't considered, against, it was just considered. It just happened, I'm talking about married men with families. They just, anything went. So, don't think that this time is so bad that God can't move. Paul, now look in 13 verses 1, chapter 1, it says, in the church was Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas said, and they prayed and fasting, they were sent by the Holy Ghost into Seleucia, from thence they sailed to Cyprus. So now, because of the prayers of an old centurion Roman, many, now the gospel has come to the Gentiles, and Paul and Barnabas have been sent. But by prayer. By prayer. Turn over to Acts 16. Let me show you what we can expect. If we're going to have fervent prayer that makes a difference. It's going to make a difference. Look what's going to happen. And begin reading in 16 verses 13. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of part of Macedonia, and they call, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spoke unto the women which resorted there. Hey, we find it right there. Prayer has a will. Prayer was wont to be made. Now, what is it? That's God in us. That's the Spirit of God that was moving in them. Hey, moving a spirit of prayer. Prayer was wont to be made. Man, you ever felt like you just had to go pray? Prayer was wont to be made. Or the Spirit of God moved on you. Buddy, and you wanted to pray. We need more of that. If we're not having it, we need to be asking God for it. Please, God, put a desire in me to spend time with you in prayer, finding your mind, your heart, your will. And here we find prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended the things which were spoken of Paul. When she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Look at her. They went out and prayed, and God has met their needs. He then raised up a woman, got her household baptized into the church, her whole household. God's moved upon her to say, look, God wants you to stay right here. I'm going to tend to your needs. I'm going to make sure you got a place to sleep. You got food to eat. You got a place. You can work right out of here. God, through prayer, and now is meeting their needs. Notice this. But now He did meet their needs, but it came to pass. Notice this. We went to prayer. A certain damsel. So prayer is a place you got to go to.
It don't just happen. You got to make a conscious decision that you want to go to prayer. You need to say, "Hey God, I've not done what you said. I'm not praying without ceasing. Lord, I need to talk with you. I need you to talk to me. I need." And so they went to prayer. They saw that. They made that conscious need to go to prayer, and they went to prayer. Notice this: and a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination. Here's that enemy now. That's the reason why you need prayer, because this enemy is going to come against us. And if you pray, he's really going to come against you. And you need to have God's heart and mind when these persecutions come upon you. It met with us who brought her masters much gain by soothsaying, fortune telling. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, you know, we see them around town, sister so-and-so, you know. You don't think that they might have devils? These men are the servants of the Most High God. Look at there. The devil's coming along and saying, look. He's trying to get on the same side. That's the reason why you got sister so-and-so, spiritual advisor. And they'll get all religious with you. You got to watch this crowd, buddy. When we get done with this, if God's permitting, we're going to look at this spirit of iniquity that's invading our churches and how the devil is coming in, not the back door, but right through the front door. And churches are opening up her arms, welcoming him in. And God told you that time was going to come. It's found in our scriptures. But notice this. Old Paul, though, he wasn't taken in. Man, here he was out there preaching. And she said, hey, these come to tell us the way of salvation. These are servants of the Most High God. She's broadcasting for them. She's advertising for them. You know what most people say? Well, what's wrong with that? I'll tell you what, when you got the devil trying to take arms with you, you better look out. And they said, and after many days, Paul, being grieved, he turned and rebuked that spirit. I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. Amen. And when her master saw that the hope of their gangs was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, drew them into the marketplace, unto the rulers, brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, are exceedingly trouble our city. Ain't that amazing? A little bit later, they was all like, these are servants of the Most High God. Amen. Come show us the way of salvation. And buddy, they were all friendly. Now when he done the truth and did what was right, look what's happened. There have been a lot of people voted for you, Brother Jim, after you got in there and you stood up and said what you knew to be right. They ain't like you anymore. You ever catch any knives from people? Huh? One dime, said they were your friends. And buddy, they thinking that. Now look here, you better mark this down. What did they do? They arrested them. They took them, they beat them. I don't mean, buddy, they gave them a little spanking. I mean, they took rods and they beat them. I mean, they busted skin open. There was blood. They beat them severely. And then they took them and they cast them into the dungeon there, into the jail, put them in the deepest part, put them in stocks. Buddy, and at midnight, notice what they did. They knew what they needed to do. Verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Notice this, saying praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I like all them P's right there, you know. Prayed. Praise, prisoners, and then now you look down at the bottom, then you're going to find promise. What must I do, sirs, to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. What I'm saying is here, when we have effectual prayer, it's going to do some things. It not only got persecution,
It brought persecution. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It brought persecution. They're thrown in prison. But then they prayed again. And they sang praises unto God. But notice this. Not only do you see prayer and praise, look at the power. Look at the power that came. And as they prayed and praised, the Bible said, and the place was shaken. God Almighty showed up and shook things up. Amen? That's what gospel light needs. That's what we need today. We need God coming in those services a little bit and shake us up. Amen? Knock some doors off their hinges. Amen? Open up some things that our hearts would be opened up to the things of God, and that people sitting in there that aren't saved, their God would get saved. But that's what's going to happen. Notice this. Knocked all the doors off the hinges. You knock all the doors off the hinges over the high rise and see what'll happen. Huh? Well, notice what happened here. And the jailer comes running out. What? Oh, no, the door's open. Oh, no, what did I do? Forget to lock it and run out. Oh, the doors is open. Oh, man. What they going to do to me for letting all these prisoners escape? He pulled out a sword and was going to fall upon it. Take his own life because he thought it might be worse than a sword in the gut. Amen? And Paul cried out. How did he see him? He couldn't see him. Power. Power of God. Do thyself no harm. We are all here. What? All them prisoners are loose? And they're still there? God did something. I think they were all up there around Paul on the top. And talk to this about what you've been singing and praising God about. Tell us. And I think they're in there giving them the gospel. And I think there's people in there trusting Christ and getting saved. That's what I believe. Well, that's far as I'm going to get. I wanted to be done today, but it's like it's going to take one more week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.